Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
I meant to narrate this right after it happened, but was a little shaken up and tired of explaining it to friends. My boyfriend, 22 male, and I, 21 female, took a road trip to Estes Park, Colorado. We left on 12 August around 8 p.m. and arrived to our Airbnb lodge at 10 a.m. 13 August. I discussed with the host that our check-in time be changed from 3 p.m. to 10 a.m. He confirmed it was changed and set. Our lodge was about a 15-minute drive up the mountains in the middle of nowhere. The place was family-owned. We arrived to the lodge and it's empty. I got an instant bad vibe, but thought I was overreacting due to the posts I read. This place has 32 rooms, 2 stories, 16 rooms per floor split symmetrically on each side of the lobby, creating one long hallway per floor. There were about 3 cars in the parking lot, confusing me due to the popularity of the Airbnb ratings. We ring the bell and the owner comes out confused. We say we're here to check in, or he got no word of an earlier check-in. He gets us checked in or goes over the list of rules for about 8 minutes. He shows us our room, first floor corner, 111. I'm into numerology or was excited. Meanwhile, a lady in running clothes is behind us observing. I thought she was in line, so I didn't think anything of it. When the owner wraps things up or gives us 2 keys to our room, we go back outside to grab our luggage. Upon walking out the front door, the lady in the running clothes, which I thought was still in line, was standing in front of the lodge with a sly smile at us as we walked to our car. I didn't think much of it, but wondered why she wasn't going on a run or talking to the owner. We grab our stuff or walk back into the lodge or go to the right down the hallway. I caught an eerie man out of the corner of my eye from the left side of the hallway, behind us walking towards the lobby. My boyfriend goes, "Who TF is that guy?" I looked at my boyfriend as he said it, looked back at the man to get a better look. There was no one in sight. We got to our room, had a view of the parking lot, not the backside full of nature as shown in the Airbnb pictures. The room was a lot smaller than shown, no fridge, microwave, and no deadbolt. There was marks left from a deadbolt lock, but looked as if it had been removed. There was a second door outside to a shared balcony, or a view of the parking lot where our car was. Upset, I apologize for the room I picked, but all was well. We decide to go get some groceries or explore. The people in the grocery store were zombie-like. I often people watch, but what shocked me was each person I looked at was already looking at me, or did not look away upon making eye contact. I concluded it was just a different town with different people. I travel a lot or am not a judgmental person. We hiked a trail, I forget the name, and find this clay-built structure with old fireplace remains. A native man, 22 male with braids, comes up to us and starts talking to us. We talk a while, very smooth. I felt like I knew him. We talked to him for a good 40 minutes. The conversation was smooth. He tells us he's alone here from Vegas, sleeping in his car. He was really trying to get the name of the place we were staying at, but my boyfriend Jay wouldn't go much into detail after three different questions about it. I got a bad vibe and said we had to go. We get back to the lodge and go in our room. I asked Jay if he felt this place was off. He said no, but thought the lady in running clothes was odd. Upon talking, our one door connected to the hallway starts shaking as if someone is opening it with a key, not quietly. Jay goes, "Hello?" No answer. Jay is also not a judgmental person or has never believed in paranormal experiences. He opens the door and looks down, and a lady he described as witch-like person says in a panic, "I was just testing the key. I didn't know anyone was here." We understood and brushed it off, but then I started thinking rationally. I told Jay I would understand if they were testing the key before 3 p.m. as they didn't expect us. But I looked at my phone and the time was 3:40 p.m. as groceries or exploring took us about 4 hours. I also thought it was odd they were testing the key on the day of our arrival. He asked if we should look for a new place. I was happy as I was thinking the same. I began looking, and he kept our second outside door open just in case. Flies were constantly flying in, so he would have the door open for about 5 minutes, closed for about 2 minutes. He did this about 4 times or often went out on the shared porch. A man was sitting outside 2 doors down. We didn't think anything of it. A huge fly flew in again, or we closed the outside door for a few minutes. Side note, it's completely silent here. It was very peaceful, and we could hear each sound of nature as our window was open. We are sitting on the bed, and we hear a clear, sharp click right outside our place. Our eyes shoot up at each other, and we are shocked or silent. He gets up slowly and goes to open the outside door, but cannot. It's completely jammed. He is a strong man, or tried his hardest to open in. No luck. I start packing frantically. We are now locked in our room from the outside, and are aware employees can get in our room from inside the lodge. We go outside and try to open it from the porch. No luck. I go in the car or FaceTime my mom or explain what is going on. I often claim paranormal happenings, and I sound like the boy who cried wolf. She wasn't buying it. Jay grabs the phone and says, "I know she has said stuff like this before. This time is different. It's not safe here. The staff acts as if they are in on a plan." She gets more serious or says she is booking a hotel in Boulder. All we have to do is go inside and pack. This was very difficult for me because I knew that if anything were to happen to us, now was the time. Jay told me to keep my mom on FaceTime and bring her with us. Upon walking to the stairs behind the building, a man on a bobcat comes flying by us. Jay said he stared at us the whole time. I was too afraid to look. We enter the most right side of the lodge where our room is. Upon thinking how glad I was that no one was down the hall, a guy and a girl appear on the opposite end and start walking towards us. We run into the room, or I set my phone up against the wall so my mom can see if anyone were to come in. I pack the fastest I've ever packed. I was in front of the bed as Jay steps around me as the space was narrow. He pauses and goes, WTF. Under the bed, there was a rug. He lifts it up, or we see a risen area of the floor. It looks as if it can open. He knocks on it. It's hollow. Beyond panicked, we take out our first load. The side stairs lead to the back, where there was a man on a ladder working in a garage space that happened to be right under our room. He walks towards us or starts to say something. I notice Jay picked up his speed, so I start running to the car. I told Jay I'm sorry, but I cannot go back in. My mom was still on the phone in the room. She later said the people there looked scary, but I don't know how or when she would have seen them. Jay gets the second load or leaves his key in the room. It was the longest 5 minutes of my life waiting for him to get back to the car. We start to drive away as he remembers my key is still in my purse. I asked him to please run it back in the room and be safe. He comes back a minute later or said he had to leave it on the doorknob because the door was already locked. We felt really bad for leaving without saying bye, but genuinely did not feel safe enough to do so. This was the scariest experience in my life. Thank you for reading, or feel free to comment possible explanations, questions, and kind critiques. I was house or dog sitting for some friends, and whenever I house sit for them, I never sleep well. I figure it's because of the type of bed. It's a new environment, and because I'm not used to sleeping with a dog on the bed. About a month ago, when I house sat for them, by the second day, I was running on maybe 3 cumulative hours of sleep. I got back after a board game night at another friend's house around 9:30 p.m., and I wasn't even close to tired, but I knew I needed sleep. So, I cuddled up on the couch with the dog and put in a mindless movie. After a while, I would start nodding off, but then my mind or body would jolt me awake like I wasn't allowed to sleep. Like I needed to stay alert for some reason. Finally, around 10:45 p.m., I fell asleep. After sleeping for a bit, I woke up super groggy and looked at my phone. It was only 11:50 p.m. For context, the style of the house I was watching is super open concept with a bunch of big windows and 2 sets of sliding glass doors. In the living room, the TV is mounted on the wall with a medium-sized tall window on each side. After I checked my phone, I looked up to see if the movie I had been watching was over. When I looked up, I saw a man looking at me through the window to the right of the TV. I immediately covered my head with a blanket. Within seconds, I realized, oh wait, maybe it's someone who is staying at the Airbnb, and I woke up because they were trying to get my attention. The owners of the house have a mother-in-law suite detached from the house which they rent on Airbnb. And it's not uncommon for guests to bother me with questions, etc., when I house sit. So, I uncovered my head and looked at the window again, and the man was gone. I turned on all the outside lights and looked to see if I saw any motion in the Airbnb, but there was nothing. I made sure everything was locked, and I went to lay down in the guest bedroom. I didn't sleep, though. I don't remember details of the man's face, but I do remember he looked middle-aged. It was also strange because in the moment, I could see his face clearly, but logically his face should have been much darker since it was pitch black outside the house as out in the country, and because there was low light in the living room. I've brushed this off as a sleep-deprived hallucination, but when it passes through my mind, I do get a little freaked out. Oh, also, I told the owners this story, and they said no one stayed in the Airbnb that night. They had canceled due to the virus. So, I would like to talk about the experience that truly made me believe in the paranormal. First off, I'd like to mention that over the years, I've gone through many tacky and purely touristy ghost towns and tours. But when I arrived in Jerome, Arizona, it just felt different from the start. Now, Jerome is a quaint little mountaintop town in Arizona, partly isolated from a fair amount of the area, and is associated with an odd amount of tragedies, ranging from mine cave-ins to massive TB outbreaks. I had heard about this place from a friend who lives in the area and eventually planned to stay via Airbnb with a nice older couple during my visit to see the friend who told me about this place. When I arrived, I was very surprised at just how quiet the town actually was. Besides the bars, everyone seemed in harmony with the history of the town. Beforehand, I had made arrangements to go on a ghost tour with a pair of old local guides, a father and son, who just happened to live in an old cathedral, to show me around town and some of the more popular haunted spots. We began the tour with myself and a young couple also staying in town for the night. As I started talking to them, the guides, I learned much about the town and their personal experiences throughout the years. Stories were told of homeless men who had been dead for decades and nuns who pushed the older guide down a set of stairs when he first moved into the church. We visited the usual spots. Old mines, abandoned hospitals turned into stores, and finally an old coffee shop that used to be a very popular bar and eventually a speakeasy. This was the place that changed my view on the paranormal. As we walked in, I immediately felt different. It was said that some man still resided here who died during the Prohibition era, and he would sometimes acknowledge or interact with people if he found them worth his time. In the shop, there is also a single couch that remained from the era that was said he would sometimes sit and relax upon with others. Anyway, as I said, I felt different. I could tell the guides could too at this point. So, we got settled in and started asking simple questions. After a while, we started to get a response. Slight knocks on the door to the bathroom and the walls. We all thought it may have been a coincidence or just a hoax pulled by the guides, so we kept going, and the knocks kept getting louder. This was when we saw the apparition of the lower part of a man's legs. Let's just say the young couple was terrified and immediately left with the older guide, leaving me and the younger guide alone in the room. He sat on the chairs across from me while I sat on the couch and asked questions. It wasn't until I ended up asking the ghost, "Are you still waiting here for a woman?" that I truly had my experience. No response. Knowing that Jerome was a gay haven back in the early 1900s, I then asked, "Are you still waiting for a man?" I then felt the couch creak as if someone else had sat down and felt pressure on the back of my neck. This was all accompanied by a loud knock on the wall behind me. We promptly left after that, but made sure we thanked the ghost for his time at the door. Even if it wasn't that terrifying, it will always live in my mind as what convinced me of the paranormal. If anyone else has had experiences like this or ever been to Jerome, I would love to hear your stories as well. To anyone wanting to start one, I recommend getting background checks done. I know it's not ideal. In fact, it'll probably push a lot of business away. But you have no idea who might be using your property for their own malicious activities. Even if, especially if, the customer contacting you uses Airbnbs all the time and is rated extremely well. It might just be because they work very hard at being a good customer, earning positive credits and leaving good impressions so renters won't suspect anything. It all started a couple of years ago when an elderly gentleman requested the use of my cabin for the weekend. He had been a member of the app since nearly its start. Everything about his profile and message to me was very sweet. A retired lawyer traveling the country using Airbnb. He mentioned in his profile that he liked to do woodworking. During his stay, he'd build small things like birdhouses, wooden fixtures, or knickknacks as a hobby. He even acknowledged it in his message, saying he was very clean and would remove any wood dust or shavings, but noted that if I didn't want him doing it, he would understand and just enjoy his stay at the cabin. I told him it was fine so long as he cleaned up, and he didn't disappoint. Though I never heard him make anything or use tools, he stayed for the weekend and pretty much deep cleaned the entire cabin. I felt almost embarrassed. It was cleaner than any customer, or I for that matter, had ever left it. He used the cabin more than once, maybe 10 times in the last 2 years. We only spoke a few times, but he seemed nice. He was always gone before I was awake on checkout day. I'd know he'd left when his covered truck would be gone. I only heard him use a power tool on his first day, a saw or perhaps a drill, but never again after that. I would see him carrying paint to and from the truck now and then, slept during the day, did his hobbies at night, and he'd always leave a generous review detailing the view of the lake and the comfort of the cabin. Quiet guy, but was always a guaranteed 5-star review and free cleaning. He always mentioned how pretty the lake was. "It's beautiful, Lucy, and you don't ruin it with boating or swimming. It's perfect. Instead of disrupting such a peaceful area with my sawing and drilling, I'll use my time here to paint what projects I already have done." That we could agree. The lake was special to me. It wasn't very big, not for boats at least, and the algae kept people from swimming in it, and I liked that. It was untouched by human invasion and was most naturally vibrant. I could stare at it for hours. I decided not to keep it to myself and opened this small cabin beside it as an Airbnb so everyone could enjoy it. When people are here, I'm sure to let them know they don't have to be a stranger and can come say hi. But I'll leave them alone in case they just want a private getaway. I'll get couples on vacation or honeymoon, a single person just trying to get away from it all, and on occasion, a few 20-somethings wanting to party. It was business as usual, until a girl staying by herself one weekend told me she heard something in the cabin. It was strange, and I don't mean to be rude, but it sounded like a shuddering noise, like a camera. I was immediately taken aback. I have no cameras or security besides locks on the door and windows, so we went down there together. We checked every inch of the small cabin and even stood in silence, waiting for the sound to happen again. No cameras shuddering or lenses flashing, but I reassured her I would never spy on people and offered a partial reimbursement for her discomfort. She seemed to believe me and apologized, unsure if she had heard anything at all. Then suddenly, at about 2 a.m, she left. I checked the cabin in the morning, but everything seemed fine. I expected a horrible review the following week, but no review was posted. Instead, what I saw was worse. Her name in the newspaper a week later, she was reported missing. An interview with the police and her father stated that she went missing on May 7th, a week after her stay at my cabin. She called me up after leaving a cabin she rented last weekend, said she felt like she was being watched. We talked about it, thought maybe she might be smoking too much of the green stuff, but called me a day or so later and said she still felt like someone was watching her. At her apartment now. I told her she could come stay with us, but she said she'd be fine. Then I didn't hear from her for a while, and when I went to go check on her, the apartment was empty. The article continued to detail how the door was forced open and signs of struggle showed a clear kidnapping. My hands trembled the newspaper in front of me. Our small town never received news like this. I set the paper down and started to brew a pot of tea, praying they would find that sweet girl. I took the steaming cup of tea down to the cabin and sat on a bench by the lake. I glared at the cabin, wondering if I should go look around. I think the article really got to me. I thought about finishing the rest of the newspaper, but I feared it would make me sick to see that headline again. I looked over the water instead, taking in the view of the small lake and surrounding forest. No one besides me knew, but when the morning sun hit the water just right, you could see right through to the bottom of the lake. A collection of beautiful reflective rocks would shine the dancing light back to the surface. It's what drew me to buy the property in the first place. It was so peaceful. Over the next dozen months, tenants came and left, but the cases of missing persons grew. I couldn't believe my eyes. Our small forest community was having a real issue. 13 people went missing from our area. I began to take matters into my own hands and messaged a collection of Airbnb renters in town. Maybe I was being a nosy neighbor with too much time on their hands, but I thought someone might have seen something. I started a conversation on Messenger with everyone, but no one had anything to report. The last people to use my cabin were a group of college kids spending the weekend partying. They were a bit loud, playing music I didn't understand and shouting all sorts of things, but I gave no complaint. Sometimes a quiet place needs a bit of excitement to better appreciate its normally peaceful setting. I woke the next morning and sat on my porch, steam rolling off a cup of tea cusped in my hands. The cabin was quiet and a couple of tents were pitched outside. A few loose red cups lay scattered by the fire pit. The sun was just beginning to rise over the trees. Chelsea. I jumped in my seat, spilling hot tea on my lap. One of the boys walked out of the forest, visibly disheveled and panicking. I stood, wiping off my pants, and called out to him. Hey, everything okay? I run the Airbnb here. You kids all right? No, we can't find her. My heart sunk. A chilling tone escaped his exhausted breath. He must have been looking in the woods for several minutes, if not hours. Another guy stepped out from the brush opposite, farther down the driveway. Anything? Matt. No, man. We should call the police or something. It's been way too long. I rushed into the house and grabbed my phone. Dialing 911, I walked back onto the porch.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The secret to summer-ready skin is here. Osea's number one best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil, clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity and transform dry skin to silky, soft, and unbelievably glowing. Its signature scent of freshly squeezed grapefruit, cypress, and mango mandarin transports you to sun-kissed summer days. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com.
And was promptly greeted by the two young men. Hey, where is she? We've heard people have gone missing here. Is she inside? I shook my head, startled, and stood aside, letting the frustrated young man into my home. The operator answered, and I told her my address and what had happened. From inside, I could hear things being moved around between shouts for Chelsea. The other kid on my porch apologized for his friend's behavior. From the cabin walked up a girl, holding a phone to her ear. Jake, I'm calling the police. It's been like 3 hours, and I'm getting super worried. Her voice quivered. Jake gestured to the girl to come up to the porch and pointed at me. She's already calling the police. Let's just calm Matt down. He's starting to freak out. After speaking to the operator, I hung up the phone and asked the kids to come inside and tell me what had happened. We stepped in and the angrier one, Matt, saw his friends and relaxed a bit. I put on some tea, and they explained they heard some noises from Chelsea's tent at around 2 or 3 in the morning. They assumed she had gotten up to grab something from the car or use the restroom inside the cabin. But when she never returned, they checked the tent. It was left open and things didn't look right. It was a mess. All the blankets were tossed and things were scattered. The two sleeping in the cabin said they never heard her come in. The cops arrived and the kids talked them through everything. It was then that I learned that Matt's cousin had been added to the missing list a few months ago. A girl on the other side of town, taken right from her campus dorm. His friends told him everything would be okay. That this camping trip would be good for him. I helped the best I could, but I didn't know what else to do. Officers walked the perimeter of my land, checking every tree, hole, and hill. An officer dressed in waders walked into the lake, skimming the surface and under algae for any sign of Chelsea. When the police asked for security footage, I told them I don't have any cameras on the premises. I've never had to before. Our community wasn't like that. You're right, it wasn't. But it is now, the officer said. Once the news got out, and the rather unflattering review from the kids was posted, my cabin became quite unappealing. I looked back at the group chat that night with the other Airbnb owners, and they were all abuzz. It was like they forgot I was the one who started the group chat in the first place. I can't believe it. If that were my place, it'd be finished. Do you think she did it, the owner? Oh my God, could you imagine? Do you think she did it? Really? I was mortified. I couldn't believe what I was reading. I quickly typed a message. Hey, guys, Lucy here. I can't believe what happened either. I'm still in shock myself, and I hope they find that girl. Post. The thread went silent. I could see chat bubbles begin typing, then stop. One by one, the profile bubbles dropped down, showing that people had seen my comment. But no one said anything. Overwhelmed, I put the phone down and cried. I couldn't imagine how people might think I'd do something like that. It took nearly the whole night to calm myself down. I had to remember that I never met those other owners before, and they don't know me either. It's just a scary news headline, a worried community, and the fact that I started the group chat. And that girl was taken here, at my cabin. I didn't look at my phone for the rest of the night. I had a cup of tea and went to bed. A couple of weeks went by, and not one person was interested in renting the cabin. I couldn't blame them. Who would want to stay at a cabin where someone went missing? Except the old man. I didn't ask him if he heard what happened. I just left him alone to tend to his hobbies. Until night, when I was woken by his truck. The sound of an engine revving sprang me out of sleep, and when I looked out the window, I saw he had gotten stuck trying to go around the lake. I was so confused and kind of upset. I ran outside and yelled at him, a bit assertively, what he thought was doing driving all over the mud and grass. He slammed the gas, forcing his truck out of the dirt, and drove toward the house, stopping at the driveway. I stormed up to his truck but stepped back when he shouted from his window, "Mind your own business, ya old bag, before I make you take a dunk in the lake." He peeled off and raced down the driveway. A nearly 6-foot stitched bag used for collecting wood dust flew from the flailing rear of the truck. I watched as he left, then quickly went inside. I told the police what had happened, but since he didn't damage anything or hurt anyone, they focused their attention on the missing people. They asked if I wanted a squad car sent out, but they were right. I'd rather have them trying to find those poor girls. I checked the cabin. It seemed fine, besides tire tracks all over the yard, so I went back inside and tried to relax. But my thoughts spiraled. Anxiety took the best of me, and I paced around the house. I needed to calm down, so I walked down to the lake. Sitting on the bench, without a cup of tea, I watched the sunrise. I knew these woods inside and out. I grew up in this area all my life. I hated whoever was doing this to our community, to my community, to my land, lake, and my cabin. The cabin and lake that I wasn't ready to say, I don't feel safe in anymore. I tucked my head into my hands and cried. It was true. I don't want to be here anymore. I don't feel safe. I walked back to the house, defeated. Picking up the phone, my mind wandered trying to think of the name of the realtor who sold me the house. When I noticed the group chat had blown up. Someone else went missing, and at an Airbnb in town. The owner, Michelle, explained that a couple was staying, and on the second night, someone broke in. The husband was murdered, and the wife was taken. But police had a lead this time. After checking the small rental, they found something in the bedroom. I never noticed it before, so I pointed it out to the cops, and they just cracked it open. Inside a wooden bookend placed on a shelf in the living room was a small camera and mic. The only reason they found it was because the owner didn't recognize the decorative piece. The cops asked her for a list of past tenants, and since she was a new renter of about 5 months, she only had 13 visits. But one guy stood out, an elderly gentleman who liked to do woodworking. He said he just makes random things while staying, so I didn't think anything of it when I heard him working on something. Everyone started to comment. I had a guy like that. He was quiet and very nice. Yeah, retired lawyer, right? He cleaned the whole place for like 3 hours before he left. It was weird. Retired, yeah. But he said he was a doctor, not a lawyer. Guys, I don't remember putting this up in my rental. After so many comments and connecting stories, someone posted a picture. A birdhouse on a tree, facing the bedroom window of their rental. Countless comments rolled in pleading them to either call the police or just open the birdhouse. The owner posted another picture, and all the chat bubbles stopped. No one commented anything, and we all stared at our phones in disbelief. A camera, inside the birdhouse. Not obvious either, but planted in a hidden compartment in the bottom, so birds could still nest, disguising it better. A cold feeling rushed over me, as I'm sure it did with everyone in the thread. I broke the silence, demanding everyone's urgency. Listen up. Everyone go and check your properties right now. Light fixtures, ornaments, pictures, and anything wooden. If you see something out of place, bring it to the police station. I'll meet everyone there in an hour. All the chat bubbles dropped to my comment, and I slammed my phone on the coffee table. I ran out to my property and began tearing it apart. I couldn't find anything, and I even broke multiple furnishings in the process. I was confident I had bought everything in there, but just to be sure, I broke all of it. An hour passed, and I decided to head to the police station. I walked past a small gathering of people holding knickknacks, clocks, and just small cameras in general. Everyone had been bugged. The police connected every Airbnb owner, the elderly man. We all had him as a tenant. Every single Airbnb owner in our small community had been visited by this man. None of us could believe it. We exchanged looks, information, and greetings. We all felt connected by this occurrence, and our group chat was a bonding of support. I told them how I never found anything, and so a few came by to help me look. But still, we found nothing. The police informed us later that the old man was using a fake name. They never found any information on him or his whereabouts. He must travel the country doing this kind of stuff. He would listen in on people, on girls he liked, and if they mentioned their address or when they would be alone while talking to someone on the phone or something, he'd make note of it. Then, he'd stop by while they were sleeping and take them. The police said he got so confident, or crazy, that he started showing up even when other people were around, like he did with my cabin or Michelle's, where he murdered someone. The police told us they would put out a nationwide search for the man and any name he used. As for our Airbnb community, it was done for. No one wanted to stay in a town where a bunch of people went missing, but all became friends and continued conversation on the group chat. The only thing we couldn't understand is why he never left something at my place, or why he only visited my cabin multiple times. It's been a couple of months since then. As for the cabin, I took it off Airbnb, then tore it down. I wanted to inspect every inch for some sort of listening device, but found nothing. Nothing struck me as weird until I started taking down the cabin structure. There was a gap in the walls between the bathroom and the bedroom. It was large enough that a person could fit, but was used for maintaining pipes and wires running throughout the cabin. What was strange about it was a 3-foot-tall cutout on the outside of the cabin leading into the maintenance gap. You wouldn't know unless you push on exactly the right spot, as it was cut with precision and hidden on purpose. Someone had been in there, making it accessible to come and go as they please. A small box for sitting, particles of food littering the floor, and a thin hand saw set on a wooden joint. He must have used this to make the hole, carefully and quietly, so as not to raise suspicion. And on either side of the walls were makeshift peepholes that would discreetly open into the bathroom or living room. Just large enough for an eye, or a camera. I had an officer come out to see the hidden compartment and add it to the case file. I also updated the group chat with pictures so people could look out for the same thing. Then I tore down the remainder of the cabin. Once the last board dropped, I moved the bench to the other side of the lake so I could take in a different view. It wasn't much, but it helped me forget what happened here. Even if for a moment, I wasn't going to let this ruin my lake, my home. The beauty and calmness of this body of water would never be tarnished. So, I walked a little further with my cup of hot tea and sat beside the lake. I waited patiently as the sun rose over the lush trees. A blanket draped over my cold shoulders. I felt the warmth of the sun kiss my face and was reassured that the lake would make me smile once again. The sun washed over the water's surface and the bottom of the lake unveiled itself. Dozens of beautiful rocks glistened a rainbow of lights at me, and multiple bags, of a similar color to the rocks, obstructed the vibrant colors. The fabric of the bags were crudely painted to blend in with the rocks, making them hardly noticeable. From this side of the lake, when the light hit just right, you couldn't miss them. My tea grew cold as I stared for what felt like hours at my beautiful lake, filled with the bodies of missing people from our community. My name's Harvey, and I'm from the United Kingdom. This story happened to me about 6 years ago when I was 11 years old. It all began when my parents and I were staying at a hotel called Rissen for 5 days. We were on a holiday to Disneyland Paris and stayed from the 17th to the 21st of July. It was a sunny day, and we were all relaxing in the lobby of the hotel. My parents and I found a comfortable spot on a sofa, and we were joined by my new friend, Paige, and her mom. Paige was a friendly girl, a bit older than me, but we got along well. Our moms and dads were chatting about normal stuff like what we could do for fun and other things we might like. Paige showed my parents and me the photo she got with Mickey Mouse, and I showed her and her mom mine too. Then I asked my mom and dad if it was okay for both of us to go to the garden. They said yes, so we went outside. Just as I was about to open the door, I saw a man who worked there coming towards us. Paige and I both looked in the same direction, wondering why he was coming towards us. The man looked like he was maybe in his early 20s. He had dark brown hair, blue eyes, and was wearing a white shirt with a black tie. He also had on a blue vest, black pants, and black shoes. But besides that, he was really tall and slim. The man stopped right in front of us as he cleaned some glass. Paige and I just smiled politely, and then the man walked away while he kept on working. Once we were outside, Paige said to me, "That was really strange." Then she let out a nervous laugh. I told Paige that the man might get in trouble if he kept bothering us like that. She agreed, so we changed the subject. We talked about how much fun we were having on our vacation, going to the Disney parks and stuff like that. Then we decided to check if the guy was gone. We really thought everything was finished, but we were mistaken. That guy was still there, just standing by the window, watching us. I thought maybe I was imagining things, but I wasn't. He was just standing there with no expression on his face at all. He kept staring at us for what felt like a long time. We tried to ignore him by looking away, but when we glanced back, he was still there, staring at us. My fight-or-flight instinct kicked in, and I'd had enough, so I shouted, "What are you looking at?" The man just gave this creepy grin and started slowly waving at us. Then he hurried away like he didn't want to be seen, so we went to reception to report him, but when we told them what he looked like, they seemed confused. They said they didn't know anyone like that working there. We asked them to call the police, but even after they came, they couldn't find him. I'm male, 26-year-old, live in Los Angeles, and I have a tradition of not being in the States for New Year's Eve. I went to Mexico, and after taking 3 hours to find the place my Airbnb room had been given away, so they tried to put me in an unfinished trailer with nearly nothing in it. A couple years ago, I didn't have any travel plans, so I figured I would just drive down to Mexico and get a little room in Rosarito. I wasn't in a party mood that year, so I just wanted a quiet room somewhere to read for the night. I was reading Don Quixote, so it seems romantic to go and read in Mexico and pretend the world didn't exist as they were all partying. I drove down past the border, spent some time in town eating and on the beach reading. In the evening, I headed out to the address I had been given, following the instructions they messaged me. I spent hours driving around the countryside in Mexico outside of Rosarito, making the wrong turn somewhere. I couldn't find anything resembling what the instructions said, and I was just looping back around and repeating. I didn't have any cell service, so every 30 minutes or so I will drive back to town, find somewhere with Wi-Fi, and try to message the hosts. But they did not answer. After about 3 hours of this shit, they finally got back to me while I was on the phone with Airbnb telling them I couldn't get in touch or find a place. One of the hoses came to meet me, Mario, where I was, and I followed him out to the house. When I got to the house, it was a small trailer, which would not have bothered me at all, but there were a bunch of people at the house, and they were having a New Year's Eve party. Immediately after that, I was informed that my host mother, who lives there, had given away my room to her brother Wes, who is visiting town. But they told me not to worry, and that they had a whole separate unit, and they would give me the whole house. At this point, it was dark, so I was following the host in my car, driving through this very real neighborhood of mostly trailers. We pulled up to a trailer that was clearly under construction. The driveway had not been finished. When we went inside to see the house, all of the furniture was wrapped in plastic. Not all of the lights had bulbs in them, and I was informed that the house did not yet have hookups for gas, which meant there would be no stove or hot water. The bed itself was just a mattress wrapped in plastic laying on the floor in a back room. I told him thanks anyway, but this wasn't acceptable, and I was going to go figure something else out. I got back to town and stole some Wi-Fi from the hotel and messaged Airbnb about my experience while I was figuring out what to do. Sitting there, I was thinking of just driving back to that, which at that time when I've only been about 3 hours, I just happened to message my best friend, who also happens to be in Mexico about an hour south of me with a bunch of his buddies. I told him the story, and he said they all got an Airbnb and then I should just come hang out with him. So I drove down, struggled to find the place they were staying in the address format in Mexico. It's different than in the States, so my maps didn't handle it well, but eventually did. When I got there, they gave me some shots of tequila, which I hate, but at that point, I just needed something to start the night off. My best friend is gay, and so are all of his buddies, so it was me and about 7 gay dudes, and then this one girl, whom I had had a crush on for a while. I ended up dancing with her at the clubs all night, and we ended up hooking up that night. After all was said and done, it was a pretty fantastic New Year's Eve. I was alone in Genoa, Italy, and thought it would be charming to stay on a houseboat. So I found one on Airbnb that was well-priced and near downtown. It was late March, meaning it was not warm or tourist season, so I was the only person staying on this boat. Well, other than the boatkeeper Momo. I chat politely with Momo as I get settled, and he orients me to staying on the boat. Our conversation is more gesturing and using Google Translate together, seeing as we have no mutual languages. Then, I head out to explore the city. Pesto, Roman architecture, graffiti. I return to the boat around 11 p.m. I should mention here that I'm a younger woman. Momo is waiting on the deck of the boat, waiting to offer me a glass of wine. I decline politely and head down to my room. My tiny room alone on this boat out in the water with no lock on the door. Momo knocks. I open the door. Momo begins to ask me something, and I piece together that he's asking me something about friends. I respond that, no, I didn't meet up with anyone while I was out. I've misunderstood, he clarifies he's asking about back in America. I explain that. Yes, I have friends back in the U.S. It clicks. He's asking if I have a boyfriend back home. I tell him I do, I don't. Oh yes, I most definitely have a boyfriend. He pauses, thinks. Apparently decides to dismiss what I've just communicated via predominantly gesticulations. Momo reaches into his back pocket and pulls out a condom. He lifts the condom in front of my face and I shit you not says, if you like, I like, make us on you. No, oh no Momo, excuse me, my amico, no. Translation, I spoke nonsense. Nothing more happened that evening with Momo. I placed my suitcase in front of my rickety door, mostly laughed about the situation because I didn't truly feel in danger, and messaged my friends, who I then had to convince that it was actually not safer to leave the boat in the midst of the night, to roam the Genoan streets with my luggage and nowhere to go. Momo made me a giant apology breakfast in the morning. He said sorry repeatedly and was so close to getting on the path to redemption. That is until, as I was disembarking the boat to leave, he fully and juicily cupped my ass, feigning that his intent was to assist me walk up the 5-rung ladder sloped barely steeper than stairs. Nobody in Italy would have thought I truly needed help getting up that tiny ladder. In his review on Airbnb, Momo left one word, Gentilissima Google, tells me that apparently I am very kind, very polite.